guys, you're guilty
with the queen. Welcome back to another episode, and on today's episode we have a very special guest with us, and we are actually going to delve deep and be vulnerable and actually talk about mental health. Like, it's something that we're all going through, and it's good to have a conversation. Like, let's talk about it.
So I'm just going to introduce a guest. Mm-hmm. She's called Auntie Tino.
Okay, so I'm a transformational life coach. For starters, that is what I do. So my practice is redefining self. Mm-hmm. So this practice, I just to put it in short, mm-hmm. I guide people through transformation. So it could be anything really, you know, gone through something, or you wanted transformation in a certain mm-hmm. area of your life, drafted program, whatever suits you.
Wow.
Then yeah. Then
so it's like tailor-made to you?
It's tailor-made to you. So what I do in that, I help people go through a self-discovery, empowerment, embrace, like if you see my tagline is embrace your unique journey. Mm. So whatever journey have, embraced that, you know, make it work for you. That is basically what I do with the transformations. Mm-hmm. With coaching, I've in so many places been confused for a counselor. Yeah, because some people do not know or understand the difference. They just think, oh, you know, she's a counselor, but
that's not
that's not what I am. Yeah, that's not what I am. I'm mm-hmm. a coach. Yeah. So I'll just give an example of mm-hmm. redefining self. I've gone through an experience, like mm-hmm. one major experience that got me into wanting to start doing this work. Mm-hmm. And through that experience, my experience was my divorce. Mm-hmm. So through my divorce, I went through a transformation. Mm. And it was a transformation that even up to now, some people were like, whoa, what happened to you?
You've done a 180.
Like a complete, So, yeah, so I went through that transformation, and, you know, I'm on that side where someone else who is still at the stage where I was a few years ago, mm-hmm. they can actually see what is possible. Mm-hmm. So I can actually guide them to say, you know, this is a possible journey. You can, you know, you can transform yourself into a result that you want to, you know, anything that you want to mm-hmm. be. So it's just showing that possibility that. Yeah. So initially when I started, I was just working with men mm-hmm. who had gone through breakups, and, you know, that's what I was focusing on, you know, at start. So now I know, you know what, you can transform your life into anything that you want. Yeah. So now I just work with general transformations. You know, most of the people I work with are people who are coming from a point of pain. You know, they want healing for something that they have gone through in their life. They want some sort of transformation in their lives. And yeah, we just go through that journey together.
Yeah. Mm. So how do these people get like signed up to the program? Do we just like reach out to you, email or website or?
Okay. So my current website is under construction. I've got a link that I have mm-hmm. where people can just pay a small fee for consultation. Mm. I used to do free consultations initially, but my time is
limited.
Yeah. So I found that, you know, by just introducing that small fee, only the people who really want, you know, who really want to engage with this work are the ones who, you know, people who
we'll put the effort in.
And those are the kind of people that I want to work with. I would love to work with everyone, but I find that sometimes if someone is not yet ready. You just don't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. But that first step is important for me, for someone to take that first step. Yeah. And I know how hard it can be because I've been there. So I know it can be really hard. You know that they are ready to work. I would rather have the person who wants the help mm-hmm. to come to me and confirm
that
they want to be helped. Yeah, because sometimes people think, oh, this person needs this. People think they know what people need, but you don't know what a person needs. Maybe at that particular time, that is not what they need.
Mm-hmm. So what's the audience like? Age range? Do you have a mixture of young, old, mid-age? What's your audience?
Yeah, so, well, in terms of age, I think naturally, it's not necessarily that I have got like a cap, the age group that I mm-hmm. work with, but for now, mainly I work with women, you know, of all different ages. I can kind of say from the early 20s to a few that were in their 50s.
No. And so where did your kind of passion for transformation and just helping people get better. Where did that kind of stem from?
Came from my own experience when I experienced my divorce and gone through a lot of experiences where I had forgotten my identity and I was a completely different person at that point. And then going through therapy, you know, to rediscover myself again and seeing the results that were happening with me, I then realized at some point that I had a passion of wanting other people to know what is possible, to actually discover what I had discovered as well. Yeah. So I wanted that for other people. So initially when I started, I was just looking at people who had gone through a similar experience like me. Naturally, I just thought, oh, we've gone through this experience. If only people knew that, you know, you can go through this, it's not the end of the world. Initially, that was my message. It's not the end of the world. You know, there is more. There is more to life. There is more within you. So when I started redefining self, it was actually called my Tino. It's one thing that a lot of people don't know. Yes, it was called my Tino. Because when I started personal growth, it was, you know, it was just for me. But then how I came up initially with my Tino is when I was looking at my life, I thought, you know, I was living my life for other people. I was serving other people. I was doing everything else for other people. And by doing that, I had this version of Tino that was defined by by other people, by the rest of the world. But then now I had discovered the person that is within me. And that is the person that I'm bringing out. That is the person that I want the world to know. So I discovered my Tino, not other people's, you know, not what other people like who wanted, I am. I am. So that is how, you know, I started. Then later on, instead of it being just personal, me, I wanted it to have meaning for other people. You know, redefining yourself according to your terms, who God made to be.
That's really good. That I love that. Came like, about. From your own experiences, then you've now produced something that could help other people. Like, that's really good.
I You're sharing your testimony to help other people. So how has God worked through this whole thing? Obviously, starting a business is not as easy as people has made it, but like, how has God intervened through it all? And how did you kind of know this is what my purpose is?
For me, as I was going through this, I started seeing a lot of myself. Even I was surprised of. Thought I was an introvert for a long time. Not that being an introvert is a bad thing. Yeah. It's not a bad thing. Thinking you are when you're not.
It must be so confusing. Like when you come out and everyone's already thought you're an introvert and you're like, actually, no.
So, you know, I did this test and I'm like, oh, okay. What more can I discover about myself? So speaking in front of people, you know, I had a lot of people that could just easily trust me because I had been vulnerable. And just having that strength to be vulnerable. I remember the first time that I told my story, I felt so nervous. It was praying and, you know, and just asking God, please, what am I going to say? I felt so blank, but, you know, the moment I stood there, God gave me the right words to speak. That's when I realized that, you know, God has got a reason why I should be doing this work. I'm supposed to be a vessel in God's hand. God is using me for something.
No, that's good. And you mentioned earlier about identity. So how do you take back your identity or break down what other people made your identity to be? Like whatever label. Or
so I like the fact that you mention the labels that people put on you. When you've got a package or whatever, when you put a label, a label is, does it go inside or you're just sticking it on?
On the outside.
You're just sticking it onto the outside. So all those labels, they are on the outside. I hear people talking about lost identity. People, you know, talk about how, you know, getting your identity back and everything. Your identity is always there with you. There was a time when God thought of creating you, when he knitted all those fibers of your being. Already had a plan for your life at that point. He already knew. So there is something bigger for each and everyone. God brought us here for service. So your identity is always there in you. It never leaves you. So you find like when they're still little, they're so confident. I remember the other day my 4-year-old, she was like, Mom, look at me. So I looked at her I said, oh, hi, Chipo. Then I think she thought I didn't get it. Then she said, Mom. Then I looked at her again. And then, you know, she was just doing this thing. I was like, okay, you're so beautiful, Chipo. Then she goes, I told you. At that point, she's happy with everything she's got. Mm-hmm. You know, she's not worrying that my hips are too big. She's not worrying that, you know, this is, you know, my skin is like this. She's not worrying about all of that. She's just grateful that she's got a body. Mm-hmm. Right? Then as time goes on, you start getting those lies start coming in, you know, through maybe social media. People are just showing you most of it fake that you see there. Yeah. And then you start comparing it with whatever is going wrong in your life, what you think is going wrong in your life. No one is going to go out there on social media. Not no one, you know, me, I do. But, you know, some people will not go out there and start showing you all the stuff that's going on.
We only see the filtered.
The filtered version, right? You find that go to school, you know, they've got grades. You got an A, you got a B, you failed, you passed, and you start grouping yourselves that, oh, these ones are the ones who passed, these are the ones who failed.
You start to have a label.
Yes.
Yeah. Not intentionally, but you do in that way. Like average students, A star students.
Yeah.
It kind of starts from a young age, like you said.
Yeah. Like once you're exposed to the outside world and the influences of everyone else.
So you start thinking that if I didn't get an A, meaning I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
All those things as you grow and whatever else is going around you in your environment starts shaping you into something different than what you were made to be originally. Mm-hmm. It starts giving you a stencil in life that this should be like this. You start getting that other identity, that label, which is not truly who you are. But then you find that you start living that. And at some point, it becomes like as if it's you.
Yeah.
Right. And then if you don't get to that point where you now start really reflecting about yourself, point that I got to when I really started reflecting about my life, because you find that a lot of what people think matter is stuff that other people are going to think. And so when it comes to identity, coming back to what you have asked me, when it comes to identity, for me, I believe it's about reconnecting with that part of you where any labels that people take on you are not going to matter. In, you know, me reflecting back when I was your age, what mattered was what are people going to think, what are people going to say, and all of that. You know, it actually led me into a life commitment, which was a marriage, which I was not supposed to have at that time because I cared about what other people think during that time. When you got to 25, you'll be like, oh, you're 25, you're not yet married. It was a big thing, right? Yeah. So you made it an effort to try and think, you know, I need to beat this, you know.
The ticking clock,
Because that is what in that environment, culturally, you know, the society, that is, those were the unwritten rules, right? And you start living by that. So stepping out of that.
Which is hard though, because I feel like in African culture, there's a little bit of comparing in that element. Not even like in you mean to, but it's more comparing with family members. Just doesn't even have to be like friends or everything like that. But then it's like those expectations, but it's hard because you would have your own expectations or the things that you want to achieve in your life, but then there's some expectations where your parents want you to achieve. And I think it's hard to stand your ground without looking rude. Do you understand where I'm coming from? Like not being disrespectful to your parents. Obviously you honor them and you want to obey, but then it's like some things are going, actually that's not what I want, or that's not what I want to do. But then it's kind of hard as well because they might see that you're not listening, you're being disrespectful, and like where the line is. I think that can kind of be as well hard. And that can play with your mental health as well, because sometimes there's certain expectations, like you said,
be married by 25,
or be married by 25, have your degree, have a house, like have a family, like the typical here's your section between, like, you know, mid-20s to your 35, this is what
you should have settled down, you should have done
this. XYZ is what success is defined as. You've been successful in life if you've ticked all these boxes. If you haven't, what's wrong with you,
yeah,
in that way. So I feel like, I don't know, it's kind of hard, like, because we're in our 20s of in that being in that bracket, because it's one of those ones of you want to be grateful and be happy where you are and being happy with the progress that you're making, mm-hmm. but then you kind of feel like, not even like you mean to, but you're getting compared to going, oh, maybe I'm doing something wrong, mm-hmm. you start second guessing yourself, going, maybe I'm the issue, what's yeah. wrong with me, this is not happening right now, and you start comparing other people's successes, envying them in the way you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, and I guess that leads mm-hmm. you to like make decisions that in the long run are not going to be the best for you.
Yeah, yeah. Like a people's mm-hmm. pleaser in a way.
Yeah, the people pleasing syndrome. I like that.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yeah. I truly get what you're saying mm. because I grew up same culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really get what you're saying. Pressure that comes with mm. it, you know. And yes, it's not so easy to actually stand your ground. And, yeah. you know, sometimes you feel that, okay, maybe if I stand my ground, I'm yeah. being rude.
Yeah.
But really, it's not that you're being rude. What I can say is that what you need to know is what is best for you mm-hmm. at this time, yeah. right? We were talking about mindfulness, being in this present moment, what is best for you at this time. You don't want, you know, to get to a point, and I'm not saying that disrespect or disregard what your parents said, you know, mm-hmm. say. You need to acknowledge the wisdom. You need to acknowledge mm-hmm. they've had experiences. Yeah. And sometimes when they are warning you against certain things, it's because they have seen it
firsthand,
somewhere yeah. firsthand, or they have experienced it firsthand. You have to really think, yeah. what is it exactly that, you know, that they are trying to mm-hmm. tell me? I'll give an example of me. Mm. I live my life at that time listening, and I was a very good child, I can tell you that. Yeah. But then the expectations in the society at that time, they and I thought, oh, I've done it.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I had a wedding. I had a big wedding.
You ticked that off.
Yes. Ticked it off. Yeah. Everybody yeah. was happy. They mm-hmm. ate. They danced. It was what was expected. Like, if you got married at the right time, I don't know whose time, like I said before, you get at that right time.
Exactly.
Speech box.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. And you have a wedding, mm-hmm. you know, your family would be yeah. proud. Your yeah. church, where mm. you come from, your local church mm. will be proud that, oh, we have our youth, you know, they'll mm. be all proud. I did all that, made all of them proud. But then was that the yeah. right thing? I knew at the time, like, but I was doing it because
it was
that is what
else
was expected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
How do you reconcile the thought of, like you were saying, like you did everything right, like you were a good child, you listened, you've like succumbed to society's expectation, you got married and it was beautiful and everything. So how do you reconcile the thought of you did everything right, but the outcome didn't turn out right? Because I think it's easy to say, oh yeah, everything should work out right because I did everything right. Like, why is it not working?
Mm. The thing is, what I went through, right? I believe that at that time, I did what I could with the knowledge that I had mm-hmm. at that time. So I couldn't blame myself for doing what I thought was best at that time mm-hmm. because that was all I knew. And, you know, as time went on, when you know better, you do better, right? And then looking at the bigger picture as well is very important, not just looking at this experience. The reason why I do all the stuff that I'm doing today, I had to go through that experience.
Mm.
Right, that yeah. you get purified as yeah. you go through that furnace. God allowed me to go through that yeah. because I had lessons that I had to take from that part. You know, I could have been angry, saying, you know,
like, I'm really surprised with your disposition. Like, you have more of a positive outlook. This has happened, but it's purified me, it's made me stronger. Mm. I bent, but I did not break, kind of thing. Like, how do you have like such a positive outlook? I would be broken by now.
Forget it.
Yeah, like it's quite amazing.
You changed it into a positive outlook to, like, you know, help other people. Like, it's really...
And you didn't, like...
You didn't let that define you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because I feel like so many times a lot of people go through trauma and just go, well, this is who I am.
Exactly. And you keep living and reliving in that moment. And you obviously have come to the other side and you're living in freedom, not... no longer like bound to, I mean, your identity is the same, but like your past, you're moving on. You know, it's like progress, like you mentioned. Like, how do you get to that point?
Yeah, so for me, I look at life bigger picture version, you know, not one single event in your life should define your whole life.
Yeah.
There is more to the wholeness of life. Mm-hmm. There is more to this big movie of life. So if I dwell on just this one point of my life, I'm going to miss out. So anything that stops me from progressing, I have to let it go.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be selfish with your experience. You have gone through an experience because God wants to bless somebody else. Mm. So if you keep holding on to those shackles and keep holding on to that as negative, you are stopping the blessing to flow to those people that it needs to go through. So there's more than just you in this life, in this universe. To tell someone your story that I went through this and I came out like this, you know, it's going to bless them. It's going to give them strength. Mm-hmm. It's going to motivate them. It's going to inspire them. It's going to actually help them to push through a situation which they might have thought that they could not go through it. But just by seeing you, seeing your testimony, you know, it's going to give them that strength.
And just earlier, you were talking about following society's expectations and stuff. How did your support system, support network, respond to your new label being divorced?
So with other people, like in my society, if you become divorced,
negative connotation.
You are a failure. You have failed your marriage. You did not pray for your marriage.
Yes.
You did not pray enough.
You did not pray hard enough. Yeah. You did not do enough. Yeah.
And now society, the burden is on the woman.
Exactly.
It's the woman who gets blamed. It's you who did not, you know, who did not do the right thing for your marriage to be, for your marriage to be intact. Mm-hmm. And at one point, just early in my divorce, someone actually said to me, "So are you going to go back? You know, are you going to go back?" Husband, I'm like, "What?" Then she goes, "Oh my goodness, that's the problem. Now you made that decision. Now you're going to be taking people's husbands." Like for her, it was for her it was okay to say that, to like, you lose respect. People don't care. You know, some people don't even care what they say to you. They believe that they get, you know, you are just trash. They can just throw anything at you. They'll just say things to you. Some people who stop talking to you, some will limit their contact with you. You know, some people will support you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are people who support you. Some people will want to know all the nitty-gritties, what happened, who was wrong, who was right.
Who was the issue?
And if you're not careful, some of them will be going in between the two of you. Oh, she said this about you. He said this about... So you have such people. Mm-hmm. Then you have some people, you know, I had people who did not even ask what happened, or, you know, they'll just look at you at that point, what is the need at that point, and they'll just support or help, you know, without involving themselves in whatever else went wrong or whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
So you get all different sorts. For me, I think what actually helped, this is why I'm so big on personal growth. Honestly, I spent a lot of money investing in myself when I discovered what it can do for me, knowing that the decision that you made is not for them. It's the decision for you, and it's the decision that is right for you, because that is where you also need to know that there is a decision that is right for the community. A decision that is right for the community is, you know, for people to feel safe with their husbands, that you are with your husband.
I don't know, they sleep better at night.
Decision that is good for the community, right? But is it a decision that is right for you, for your situation? You know, what people say can never change who you are. You know, sometimes people make decision based on what other people are saying, what other people are going to say, or what they think people are going to say, right? But then you forget that whatever they say is not going to change the truth. It's not going to change the reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never going to change you.
Yeah.
So that in itself should be something that, you know, gives you the strength, just knowing that, you know, let people talk, because that's what they do.
That I really like as well, how you mentioned you going counseling, because I feel like in the African culture, it's not really, there's a lot of stigma. It's like some people will be like, you don't need good counseling because you're not praying hard enough. Relationship with God is not good, or you know what I mean? Like, it's something that you look bad upon people with the whole counseling, mental health. Mental health is not real. Like, a lot of things like that, and especially in the African culture and how to deal
like
with that.
African culture, and then there's like spiritual, like religious, and it's like, it just keeps compounding on top of each other, and you just, it's a lot. So you battle with the African culture, and then you also battle with like the religious aspects, like people saying, oh, just pray harder. Oh, just like bring it to God. Like, there is a space for God. And there is also a space God has equipped us with the wisdom to actually seek out help when we need to.
And the importance of seeking out help. There's
in the African culture, it's only now that starting to acknowledge that, you know, there is mental health in our society. It was something that was just non-existent. Yeah. And even the way we grew up, just if someone had a mental illness, you know, sort of there was a lot of stigma attached to it, and you didn't want to have that sort of label. So people would suffer in silence because they didn't want that label, because just having a mental health issue meant that you're mad, you know, like it was right. like people did not understand or acknowledge that, you know, you have a mental illness, you know, if you get help, you can actually live life. People did not understand that. Even you know, taking medication, there was just a lot of stigma. So then, you know, a lot of people would not even be vulnerable enough to share how they're affected mentally.
Because it goes back to like how society would then perceive you. You're not all there in the head.
Yes, yeah. And I think even up to now, it's something that people still need to talk about more. Yeah. We're not there yet. We're not there yet. There is still a lot of a lot of work that still needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, I think across the whole, from the young people, you know, the adults, people in marriages, all of that, it's still a big issue. The stuff is there now that just needs even the church to start embracing that and start introducing
that.
The importance of it
before you crash down.
You can't just pray everything away.
When it comes to church, we want to look perfect. Our lives are perfect. We don't have any problems.
Happy Sabbath, how are you?
How's your week? Good.
Great.
I remember the other day someone at church said, oh Tina, how was your week? I was like, no, I'm not good. And they're like, taken aback, because it's not.
You're off script. That wasn't on the script.
That was not the plan, right?
Because people don't expect that. People expect to just say, oh, we're fine. Everything is fine. Mm-hmm. And we've got this thing where we believe that being blessed means everything is going good. Mm. People think that, you know, if you say I'm being blessed by God, no one will say I'm being blessed when they are going through a bad experience.
Yeah. That's shackles, right?
To come and say, oh, I'm so blessed.
They would literally call you delusional.
To eat this week.
You'll be crazy.
People don't think about it that way. Mm. People think that, you know, to be blessed is to have everything. Everything is going good. Mm. Everything is fine. Mm. And think experiences that we, in quotes again, we think are positive.
Yeah.
They don't really, you know, they will not talk about whatever else is going on in their lives. You know, the experiences that they think are bad.
It's like really surface.
I think it's just work in progress. You know, I would go to church covering myself, long sleeves, covering my because before I came to church, I'd been bashed.
Wow.
Right? Covering myself with my glasses and my smile, you know, and making sure I've covered everything so that no one sees the bruises. And then you go to church there, people, it's a pretty picture for everyone.
Exactly.
And what does that do to you guys?
Yeah.
You think, oh, it's perfect.
I want to have that kind of relationship. When I grow up, I want to be just like them.
Yeah.
Like, I know I see some couples at church and I'm like, wow, like their marriage is so beautiful. Like, I want that.
So it is that picture that you see, you think, oh, this is beautiful. Yeah. You know, I want this. once you get engaged and there's all that pressure within society, you feel, even when you see things going wrong or when you know things are going wrong, you think, I'm already engaged. Exactly. Maybe you've had a party. You've already displayed your gold ring.
You've already sent out invitations.
And you think that there's no turning back.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel they, you know, there's a lot that the young people do not know yet that they need to know, you know, before
you
they
make that life,
make that life commitment. That,
before you make that commitment, you know, let's talk about it. You know, you have expectations that you have as young people. So what you don't realize that you are coming from, let's say, your family or your surroundings, your family and everything that built you, right? It's a stencil. Let's say your stencil is A, B, C, D stencil, right? You are meeting up with someone who is also coming from, you know, from his family, his surroundings, whatever. Maybe his stencil is animals, and you are trying to bring those stencils together.
Yeah, it's
right?
not going to work.
You say, this is A. They say, no, this is a dog.
Yeah.
So it's about what is it that you expect? Because they're coming from where they're coming from. You're coming from where you're coming from. You've got the expectations that you have built on whatever, whatever built you up. They've got, you know, something. We might think, oh, we all grew up in Seventh-day Adventist. We were like that. They were the first question that you would ask. Oh, so question of yours, you know, are they? And when you tick that box,
exactly,
it looks perfect.
Yeah,
you think
right,
it's
on
perfect.
Paper, yeah.
Right?
He's got a job, ding, ding.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
He's a respectable man.
Yes, and take all those and you think that it's perfect. Then when it starts, when you see it's shaking, it's not working, what's going on, you know, you don't understand, because it's supposed to be this picture that is expected, right? That's why you see people now start covering up, and it makes me mad when I see that it's still happening, that still the same advice that's being passed down, which I know doesn't work.
Yeah,
people like to just give that picture to say that they are fine. Shame is instantly killed the moment you vulnerable, the moment you bring it up.
Yeah.
Shame cannot dent vulnerability. So you can only live in shame when we are shelled, you know, in our own shell, we covering it up, all of that, where they just feel that, you know, I have to protect myself from this society, you know. And those are some of the people that I want to work with to say, you know what, you know, don't feel shameful of yourself and bring it out. You know, one of the most empowering things, like, brought me out of the shame was to be vulnerable. To talk about it to other women, to talk about it. Even now I'm talking to you guys, you have not yet had any experience with, you know, with marriage and all of that. But, you know, just to talk about it, even after talking about it, you might find yourself in a situation where you realize that, you know, but hopefully you'll remember that, until that day.
I'll just go back and play this episode.
It's okay.
Yes,
I should remember that it's okay, you know, even with my own kids, they're still, I'm still vulnerable to them. I know I've been warned sometimes, say, you don't tell your kids because this is, you know, they're going to think this of you. For me, I don't look at it that way. I don't want my kids to think that I'm perfect, you know. I want them to know that, oh yes, mommy made a mistake that at the time, and she told us about it, and she told us the lessons, and hopefully it helps them not to make the same mistake. But even if they do, they'll remember mama's not perfect.
Exactly.
She came out of it. So knowing that it's not the end, so that you know that it's okay, because some of the times the reason why people live shame, because they go through certain situations and they think that they're on the only ones that have done it or that have experienced that.
It's empowering to know that you're not the only one.
Exactly. That's really important, and to know that those situations are the ones sometimes that will transform you to come out stronger. As long as you know God is in control, it won't matter what you go through. It's still leading you to where God wants you to be. You know, we only suffer when we start resisting. As long as you're still breathing, you woke up today, God has got a purpose for you.
Just like Joseph said, like, what my brothers meant for evil, God has used it for good.
Yes. And
I can definitely see that in your case. Like, different people can have different reactions, but your reaction of like, you know what, this is for God's glory, this is to help other people. So you're not going to see it as like such a negative thing, which is great. Nah, thank you for this like conversation and all the different aspects that we went in and the different tangents that we went on. Like, I think it's really important. Like, mental health is important, and the aspect of like you talking about your marriage as well, and like what we young people can do in terms of like what to look out for and how to approach this whole marriage thing, not like roses and just thinking about the wedding, like there is a marriage after, and like how do we prepare ourselves and how can we define and get our identity back, brush off all the external labels that we have and kind of just refocus on ourselves. And I think that's like really important to do, like especially now more than ever, when the media, everywhere you look, it's like programming, we're getting so much like input, and we just need to like just cancel out the noise of the world and listen to that like still small voice of God as well. If someone wanted to reach out, just like, remind us again, like
your Facebook page, where can we go,
and if we have more questions, like how can we contact you?
Okay, so I'm quite active on my personal profile more than my business page. Profile is Tino Ruzive. Then my business page is Redefining Self Tino Ruzive. I'm on Instagram as well. Instagram is Tino Ruzive. Want to reach out maybe for like one-on-one sessions, just reach out to me on my, it's either in my messenger, flick me a text on my Facebook messenger or on my WhatsApp.
That's so actually amazing. So the possibilities are endless. Just make
they are endless.
And thank you so much for being here. Thank you for agreeing to talk to us, two crazy people.
Taking your time to be with us. We really appreciate it.
And just imparting all this wisdom and knowledge. Anyway, I guess that concludes our episode. Bye.